Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The lower house has started debating the 2020 budget in its first reading. President Zeman has told journalists his medical records would be released to the press on Thursday. And Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček has said Turkey's membership in the EU is inconceivable in light of recent developments. The lower house of parliament is debating the 2020 state budget in its first reading. The session opened with an address by President Zeman, who said he was ready to sign the budget in its present form, but pointed out possible reserves in the area of tax exemptions and state employees, which he said could both do with a significant reduction. The prime minister was absent from the first reading due to a working visit to Japan, where he attended the enthronement of Emperor Naruhito. The proposed draft, which envisages a 40 billion crown deficit, is expected to get support from the ruling ANO and the Social Democrats, as well as the Communist Party, which is backing the government from the opposition. The right-wing opposition parties and the Freedom and Direct Democracy Party have said they will vote against it, criticizing the size of its deficit at a time of economic growth. The Central Military Hospital in Prague will release President Zeman's medical records on Thursday, the president himself told reporters as he left the lower house of parliament on Wednesday morning. In reaction to intense speculation regarding his state of health, President Zeman said he was only troubled by his ailing feet and had no intention of resigning because of his health problems. According to Deník N, the hospital may only release a partial health report. The president has appeared very tired in recent weeks and was in hospital twice in the space of a month for what his spokesman described as reconditioning stays. Zeman, 75, has low blood pressure, diabetes and neuropathy that makes walking difficult. Turkey's membership in the EU is inconceivable following its military offensive in Syria, Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček said in an interview for the news site Novinky.cz. Minister Petříček said Turkey fell short of fulfilling the basic requirements for membership, such as rule of law, democracy and protection of human rights. He said the EU should make the situation clear to Ankara and focus on expanding to the Western Balkans instead. In an interview for Czech radio on Tuesday, Petříček made it clear he would support tougher European Union action against Turkey over its incursions into northern Syria. President Miloš Zeman is to attend the opening of a Czech house in Bratislava together with Slovak President Zuzana Čaputová on November 16th, the CTK news agency reported, citing the office of the president. Meanwhile, Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš will visit Bratislava on November 17th, where he will attend the freedom celebrations on the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution. Prague Castle said earlier that President Zeman would not be attending any public events on the occasion and would mark the anniversary in private. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Thursday should be clear to partly cloudy with afternoon highs reaching 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the foreign service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Foreign Minister says the EU should step up pressure on Turkey if its operation in Syria continues. A study shows that 40% of Czech dog owners let their pets into bed. And later on in the programme, we speak to our former colleague Pavla Horáková about her award-winning novel, A Theory of Strangeness. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs has come out in favour of firmer EU action against Turkey over its offensive into northern Syria and attacks on Kurds. Tomáš Petříček says Russia and the Damascus government are benefiting most from the current situation and says further talks on Turkey joining the EU are at present impossible. Ian Willoughby has the report.
Just over a fortnight ago, President Trump announced he was pulling US troops out of northeastern Syria. Soon after, Turkey entered that territory and launched an offensive against the Kurds, who had fought Islamic State militants alongside the US for years. Since then, hundreds of people have been killed in battle, the majority of them Kurdish civilians and fighters. Speaking to Czech radio, Minister of Foreign Affairs Tomáš Petříček said the Czech Republic had been long-term supporters of the Kurds. He also questioned Donald Trump's policy about Turin.
Unfortunately, I regard it as a strategic mistake on the part of the US, who announced they would withdraw their soldiers. To be frank, we cleared out of Syria in a moment when a political process had been launched focused on creating a new Syrian constitution that would make it possible to overcome that long-standing conflict. So for us, it's important to continue with these efforts, particularly at the UN.
The Czech foreign policy chief said the EU had made considerable efforts to defuse the conflict in northern Syria, which has caused the displacement of over 175,000 people.
Both the Czech Republic and the EU have repeatedly responded to the offensive. I was pleased by the relatively strong EU joint statement and the conclusions of the European Council last week. We were also among the first to halt the export of military materials to Turkey. In addition, we backed the approval of a package of sanctions that can be activated at any time and developed further. Above all, there should be a diplomatic pressure on Turkey to halt the military offensive.
Speaking ahead of a deal on a safe zone in the region freshly agreed by Turkey and Russia, Minister Petříček said European leaders needed to be ready to take further action if needed.
I'm convinced we should further intensify the pressure on Turkey if it doesn't end the military operation and doesn't curb the further spreading of the conflict, in particular with regard to its impact on the civilian population. One thing I can say is that the whole situation is most benefiting Russia and its ally, the Damascus government.
Rusko a jeho spojenec v podobě režimu v Damašku.
In a separate interview for Novinky.cz, Mr. Petříček insisted that Turkey was an important partner within NATO, but said it was at present failing to act positively as a stabilizing force in the Middle East. He also said the situation in Turkey with regard to the rule of law, democracy and human rights currently ruled out the Ankara government making any headway on the issue of joining the EU.
And that was Ian Willoughby with that report. For many years now, Czechs have had a reputation of being a dog-loving nation, and a recent survey carried out by the STEM Mark agency confirms that. According to the results of the study, 2 out of 5 Czech households include dogs, and what is more, 40% of Czech dog owners allow their four-legged friends into their own bed. Ruth Frankova has more.
According to the survey released by the STEM Mark agency on Tuesday, a typical Czech dog owner is a young person under the age of 30 living in the countryside or in a smaller city. The survey also suggests that mid-sized dogs weighing between 6 and 24 kilograms are the most popular. Vladimíra Ticha is a spokesperson for the Czech Dog Breeders Union.
One of the most popular dog breeds are the Labrador or Golden Retrievers. They are especially popular in families with small children because of their friendly nature. Young people prefer sport breeds such as Border Collies. People who want a pet for cuddling choose Yorkshire Terriers, French Bulldogs or the Maltese.
Although there are no hard data available, Mrs. Ticha says there are more dogs in the Czech Republic relative to the human population than in most other countries in the world.
I recently counted the number of puppies with a pedigree certificate born in the Czech Republic per person. It puts the country in 4th place in Europe, just behind Scandinavia. However, people in Nordic countries usually don't have crossbreeds, so when it comes to the overall number of dogs, Czechia really is one of the first in the world.
According to the STEMmark survey, 3/4 of Czech dogs are kept indoors. Nearly 2/3 of these are allowed to lie on armchairs and sofas, and 2/5 can even sleep in their owners' beds. Psychologist Petr Šmolka says there are several reasons behind Czechs' benevolent approach to dogs.
Tak je jeden trend, že si pořizují psa
One of the recent trends among young people is to get a dog as a sort of training simulator to find out whether they would be able to raise a child together. Also, with more dogs moving to small apartments, they're more likely to find their way into our beds. It is beneficial not only for them, but also for us. Even hospitals use therapy dogs these days because they're pleasant to touch and they're a source of positive emotions.
An increasing number of Czech companies allow their employees to bring their dogs to work. Gabriela Jakabová from the Brno-based firm Kentico confirms that the presence of pets contributes to a better atmosphere at the workplace.
We've had dogs in our company since the very beginning. It was natural for us to bring them with us. Today we have around 230 employees and there are at least one or two dogs in each office, which is between 30 and 35 in total.
And that was Gabriela Jakabová from the Brno-based firm Kentico, ending that story by Ruth Frankova there. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague International, the foreign service of Czech radio, where it's now time for another episode of our Panorama programme, hosted by Daniela Lazarová.
The winner of the prestigious 2018 Magnesia Litera Award for prose went to journalist, translator and writer Pavla Horáková for her novel A Theory of Strangeness. Pavla, who is a former Radio Prague reporter, now has several books under her belt, including a popular trilogy for children and a book on soldiers serving in World War I. However, her first big novel, A Theory of Strangeness, which was an overnight success, is the most difficult to define. So when I met up with Pavla to talk about her new book, my first question was how she herself would define it.
It's a very difficult question, even for me. It's a thick book, so I had the chance to throw a little bit of everything in. So there's a bit of romance, there's a bit of suspense, there's a bit of philosophy, let's say, many various theories and hypotheses that the narrator has. Also, there's some history of Prague.
And a lot of mystery.
Also some science as well. There's some mild social satire, let's say, or social criticism. And besides, there's some spirituality, let's say, some New Age spirituality mixed with quantum mechanics.
So it's about this young researcher called Ada.
She's nearing middle age now. She's in her mid-30s and she goes through something of a identity crisis, we can say. She's just broken up with her serious boyfriend and she's not quite happy at work with her project, with her scientific project.
Which we should say is a fictitious institute.
She works at a made-up institute, which I called the Institute of Interdisciplinary Human Studies. It's a kind of anthropology research institute, and people there engage in all sorts of bogus research. Some of the projects they carry out are real research that I actually came in touch with when I interviewed people at a similar real life institute, but some of the research is completely made up and kind of funny. Also, there's a little bit of humor in the book I forgot to mention.
There's a lot of humor in the book, I must say, having read it. And of course, the book is full of her perceptions on life, people, and so on, and very, very amusing. But basically, it's about her search for happiness and an effort to free herself of various restrictions imposed by society. She actually achieves that at the end of the book. To what extent is the book autobiographical? Have you travelled that journey?
Yes, and I realized it only after I finished the book, because I followed some plot line, and only after I finished the book did I realize that the whole path of the narrator, the main character, was a path to freedom. And I also realized that she chooses freedom to free herself from the restrictions of various institutions, of the rigorous rules of society. But it's not only her who does that, but also all the other main characters, her mother, her father, her brother, maybe not her sister, but all the main characters do that simultaneously. And it dawned on me that maybe this part of the plot was really important, more important to me than I thought. And yes, and to answer your question, yes, I chose to be a freelancer many years ago, and I never looked back. And personal freedom is actually really important to me, which is something I realized after I finished the book.
Do people write to you and say, I understand this, I related to it, this is exactly my way of thinking, I found myself there? Do you get emails and letters of this kind?
It's incredible, but it happens to me almost every day that I get a message on Facebook or via email from somebody I know or I don't know at all, saying how much they related to the ideas, to the perceptions, to those little things in the book. They say things like, how can you see into my head? Or I thought I was the only person who ever thought about those silly little things, and now I'm so happy not knowing that I'm not alone. And it's something that surprises me, because I always thought I was the only one who spent time thinking about silly little things like mothers and daughters dressing the same way, or combing their hair the same way, or streets that go downhill, having worse quality shops than streets that are on a straight not straight plane. On a plane. It surprises me, it pleases me, it humbles me, but it happens, and I guess it will go on happening.
We already said the book is full of mysticism, and there are lots of quirky stories, lots of strange coincidences. It features a place called Šumperk, where strange things happen, a real place here in the Czech Republic. And I know that you collected those news stories during your time here at Radio Prague, so obviously all of them happened. But I believe that you once said that every place had its own energy, which is collected over the centuries, depending on what happened there. Do you believe that? Can you explain that?
Well, that's something that sounds like that sounds really wild. That sounds this idea sounds far-fetched, but that's something that appears in fairy tales and in fiction and in art throughout history. So there must be something to it, and there's an expression for it in Czech, genius loci, or in Latin rather, there is something to certain places. You feel a certain something, we can call it energy or a special spirit or special power. And my main character notices these places around Prague, and Prague is a city which is full of history and strange things happening here, strange stories from various periods of history. And she notices that certain things have an inclination to occur in those places over time in various periods of history. So that's also part of the plot.
Right. Now, the main character in the book, Ada, says at one place in the book that she needs 5 seconds to tell whether she wants a man. And it's the same with a book, a film, or a piece of music. Is that true of you as well?
Well, I noticed that if I read 5 pages of a book and I don't like it, there's no point in continuing reading the book because it won't get better for me, even though the book might be great and appreciated by other readers. Also the same with film. If I don't...
We started talking about men.
Well, men, it's basically people. Her project, her academic project is assessing to what extent people like one another mutually, to what extent the instant sympathy or antipathy is mutual. And she also applies that to men, of course. That's something I noticed as a young child, that I either like somebody or dislike instantaneously, and it might get better over time, but eventually I will return to my initial feeling about that person because they prove me wrong. The acquired likability or the acquired fondness from my part turns back to my first intuition about the person.
Well, I'm sure that is something that very many people will relate to. Now, what I like most about the book were the perceptions in it. It's a book you can open, you know, anywhere and read for a while, close it, come back to it, open it at a different place and read. And it's very, very amusing. What do you think gave it an edge over the others when you won the prize, the Litera Magnesia Prize for Prose? It's definitely... there's nothing like it on the Czech literary scene. Could that have been... What do you think? Why was it selected?
I don't know. The jury has 5 members, so I guess it's some kind of compromise of their 5 individual tastes in literature. I can't really say. But
everyone loves this book.
Not everyone.
People love it.
I've had bad reviews as well, but mostly from people who don't have a sense of humor, I'd say. But one Czech critic says that contemporary Czech fiction feels like walking or entering a dark and cold cellar, and that my book is different in that regard. And that's an idea that I completely agree with, because for me, Czech fiction in recent years has been very dark and depressing and very heavy. And I like some lightness and joy and humor in my literature, in my books. So I put some in to satisfy primarily my demands as a reader. So I wrote a book, such a book that I myself would like to read.
Whenever a book or a film is a great success, people always ask about a sequel. Are you thinking of writing one?
Well, when I finished the book, I realized that I had so many leftovers from my notes, metaphors, ideas, all of those perceptions. I have so many left that didn't fit in the book. And I thought, oh my God, I would have to write another one. And I thought about a sequel with the same main character. And then I thought, maybe not. Maybe it's not a good idea, because it's always hard for the sequel to reach new audiences, because you first have to read the first part, of course. So it looks like I will write a very similar book, because many authors keep writing the same book all over and over. That's nothing I should be ashamed of. But I guess it will be very similar in tone and style and content as well. But I will choose a different narrator. I'm afraid she will be female again. But as most fiction readers in this country are women, I might as well.
Finally, one of our listeners has asked where he can buy the book in English. What are the chances of it one day reaching English speakers as well?
I guess the chances are quite small. It's very rare for Czech fiction to be translated into English, because the US and British markets are very very self-contained, and it's difficult for any foreign literature to reach English-speaking audiences. But it might happen, who knows? Now translations are being negotiated into Italian, Polish, Bulgarian, Hungarian and German, so we'll see.
Wow, that's amazing. Pavla, congratulations. Thank you for your time. And I'm already looking forward to your next book, so I hope it doesn't take very long.
Thank you for inviting me.
And that was our former colleague and accomplished writer Pavla Horáková speaking to Radio Prague's Daniela Lazarová in an interview first broadcast on May 2nd this year, shortly after she had won her award. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll certainly be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Tom McEncrow. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.